Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue today to look at some of the key themes from this season of Advent. We've been looking in particular at the readings that the church has given us this week that emphasize the reality of the character of the Messiah, the glory and majesty of Jesus. And it's timely. As if you haven't had a chance to tune into the program this week, I've been contrasting really what the Bible says, what the Catechism says, what the Church teaches and her magisterium has taught for 2,000 years about the absolute uniqueness and majesty of our Lord Jesus Christ, and this recent study that was done by an organization, I think called, pronounce it Ligonieres, Ligonier. It's called the State of Theology. They do it, I think, annually or maybe every other year. And in it, there were just a couple indicators, again, of kind of where the state of Catholic belief is among the baptized. And you know, they asked a set of questions. One of the questions, or they made statements, and one of the statements was that Jesus, is it true that Jesus is the first and greatest being that God ever created? Basically, that was the statement. And 66% of the Catholics answered, they agreed with that statement, that Jesus is the first and greatest being created by God. He wasn't created. He's not like you were created, I was created, but Jesus was not created. He's eternally begotten of the Father. He's literally God. And then the second one is not so much of a surprise, given the first statement was that Jesus was a great teacher, but not God. 57% of Catholics agreed with that statement. So it's very disturbing to see how weak and uninformed the faith is for many of the baptized. And this tells you a lot, because if you don't believe Jesus is who he says he is and who the apostles proclaimed him to be, you're not going to have the kind of faith, the very power that we're given at the core of the faith when we believe who Christ is. And the work of the Holy Spirit in us helps us come to understand that Jesus is Lord. That's what, you know, St. Paul tells us, he said, you know, that no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And what he means by that is, of course, every human being can mouth those words. But what he means is no one can say it with faith, conviction, and an experiential knowledge that communicates a whole new life of being lived under the authority and majesty of Jesus. To say that Jesus is Lord is to say not only that we know about him, but that we know him. And as St. Peter said, enthrone Jesus Christ as Lord in your heart, that we have received his gift of salvation, we've repented of our sins, that we now are living by his grace through the Holy Spirit in his church, and he's the reason for why I'm alive. He's the reason for my life. He's the center of it. He's the most important person in my life. And living to please him is the goal of my life. So I also was thinking about the statistic that came out last year about what Catholics believe about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. 70% don't believe in the real presence. 70% of Catholics. That's crazy. That's insane. But it's logical. When you've abandoned the supernatural, when you've reduced Jesus to just a moral teacher, which is impossible given who Jesus says he is and who he in fact is, that's another question altogether. But if you reduce Jesus to a good teacher, he's just like you or maybe just a little better than you. And you, as Cardinal Ratzinger said at one point, that the constant temptation in the modern world and even in the church among people is to empty Jesus Christ of his full significance, who he actually is. And so as you empty it, you get further and further away from an eternal perspective, further and further away from a supernatural understanding of reality and your own life, which means then your life is not going to, is the graces that were given to you and that you could take advantage of, you're not going to take advantage of, because everything is reduced to what we can do and we can accomplish. And in fact, the logic of it then gets reduced to the whole mission of the church, which is fundamentally to, through the grace of God, under the lordship of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, extend the kingdom of God, that is the authority of Jesus and the mission of Jesus and the offer of salvation for the forgiveness of sins and the new life that he wants to offer us and bringing us into the kingdom of God the Father, that's the central reason the church exists. But more and more today, the church gets reduced to, like Pope Francis said at one point when he first became Pope, one of his documents, he said, the church cannot be reduced to an NGO, a non-governmental organization, another do-good organization in the earth that exists to fix the world. The church has a place in this world. The church cares about justice. It cares about the poor. It cares about these things. But for many people in the church, that's what it's reduced to good works. That's it. And this is why religious orders, some of the traditional religious orders have lost lots of vocations and their missionary evangelistic impact has been seriously reduced. And you say, why? Well, because many people in those positions have gone through a crisis as the mindset of many leaders in the church has begun to change along the ways I was just describing. People say, wait a minute, why am I living as a celibate? Why am I living such a sacrificial life for the sake of what exactly? I thought it was going to be for the sake of the eternal life of the people that I'm loving and serving and reaching out to. But if all I'm doing is just helping them politically, socially, materially, which is good, that's part of what the church does, but if that's the fullness of it, there's a lot of other organizations that can do it better than we can do it. They have more resources. And I don't have to be a priest to do this. Because a priest offers the sacrifice of Christ for the salvation of the world. But if the salvation of the world isn't really at the center of the church's mission, and it's mainly social work or works of social justice, which the church cares about and the church is called to do, it's a tension between, it doesn't need to be there. The tension wasn't really there in the lives of the apostles so much, but it is today, the pressure to reduce the lordship of Jesus, his kingship, and his authority, and therefore the full submission of mind, heart, and will that it requires for every human being. One of the main reasons it gets reduced is because it's unpopular today, because everybody wants to define their own way, their own, road to spiritual bliss, their own defining of their own reality. And what that really covers up, all those fine-sounding things, is I want to be the master of my own destiny. That's what's really going on underneath, a suppression of the truth of the absolute dominion and authority and majesty of God's beloved Son, his King, as C.S. Lewis called him, the young prince of the universe. And so some of the passages we get references to in this season of the Catechism, paragraph 668, describes Jesus this way, just taken directly from Scripture. Christ died and lived again, that he might be both Lord, both of the dead and of the living. Tomorrow I'm going to talk in more detail about what that means and how we can come into and live under the lordship of Jesus in a way, and the blessings and the reward of what that brings to us. But today I just want to, again, make that dramatic contrast. Majority of Catholics say he's a great teacher, but not God. Catechism underlines, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Now that's a job description. That's a little bit more than a good teacher. Jesus has full authority, he said, over heaven and earth. Every realm, angels, human beings, demons, every one of those beings will bow the knee in recognition of the lordship and majesty of Jesus Christ, and it will be for our good and the good of everyone who does it, because this is real. This is who he is. He's the one who is highly exalted and has been given the name that is above every other name. That's why we're anticipating Christmas with such joy. That's why we want to be ready and watchful all the time for the return of the great King, who's the judge of heaven and earth. And it says here now in the paragraph goes on, Christ's ascension into heaven signifies his participation in his humanity, in God's power and authority. Jesus Christ is Lord, and he possesses all power in heaven and on earth. That's a lot more, friends, than a great teacher. The reason the gospel isn't going forth in power in the lives of many, 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 many people in the church today is because who wants to be motivated and give their whole life to talking to people about a good teacher, like a good teacher I had in college, right? If you don't know Jesus and you don't know who he is and you're not, your faith is not alive to the reality of who he is, the mission of Jesus will go away and you won't be compelled, as St. Paul said so clearly, the love of Christ and who Christ is compels us because we believe that all have died and Christ has died for them. Because he's died, now everybody has a chance to pass from death to life. Blessed be God for his Son, the faithful one. Paragraph 670. Since the ascension, God's plan has entered into its fulfillment. We are already at the last hour. So Advent is a time for us, as we stand so consciously between the two comings of Jesus, that we internalize what Jesus and the apostles said about this time, and the church is now passing on to us in its magisterium here in the catechism, that we've already, as it goes on to say, already the final age of the world is with us. And the renewal of the world is irrevocably underway in the person of Jesus. It's underway. It's not underway with the political structures in the world or the NGOs that are in the world or, the good works that we do, the good works matter. But a lot of what goes on in the earth is the giving and taking and battling over, you know, powers battling one another. And none of the organizations in the world, not one political institution has the capacity and the power to renew the world. Only the Creator God can renew the world. And that renewal, which is sure to reach its fulfillment, has begun in the flesh of Jesus Christ, who entered this world. And he walked on the earth. And he gave to God what belongs to God. And he was raised to new life. And Jesus went from death to life. And he came forward into an existence beyond death, clothed in glory and an indestructible life, a new life, a new creation was born in him. And the renewal of the world flows from Jesus. And that's the only way it will ever get here. And he himself is bringing it about, and he himself will do it. Politicians can't do it. The kings of the earth can't do it. The tech giants can't do it. Nobody has the power to renew the earth but God himself. And he's done it, and it's begun, and it will reach its completion when his Son comes again in glory to judge the living and the dead. And every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess to the glory of God the Father that Jesus Christ is Lord. What a gift to know that, friends, and to walk in it and live in it. I'm going to talk more concretely tomorrow about what it means to live with Jesus as the Lord of your life. I hope you can tune in. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.